Welcome to the Power for Life. This broadcast brings to you a message of life-changing revival in the Holy Spirit. We pray that today's program will help to spur you on to experience the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in your life. Now here with today's message is Tom Hill.
Jealousy can destroy you. We find jealousy destroys marriages. We find that it disrupts businesses. We find that it causes rifts among family members and family people. We find that it leads us into all kinds of sin and destructive behavior in our lives. It can eat away at us on the inside. Jealousy can destroy us. That's a very common experience in the world today. And sadly, we find that jealousy is also a common experience within the Church of Jesus Christ today. And there are plenty of examples where we can see it. For example, every time that there is a church election of people to fill positions in the functioning of the church, we find that jealousy can slip in. For we are jealous and envious of those who get elected. I wasn't chosen, and why not me? I'm just as good as they are. We find that jealousy also is involved in those who are in the leadership of the church. For those who are envious of another position of leadership than the one that they have, we find that pastors themselves are not immune to jealousy either. We find that pastors can be jealous of other pastors because they have perhaps a larger church or one that is of greater success or has greater recognition in the city. Yes, sadly, jealousy has invaded the Church of Jesus Christ as well. Perhaps even into your own life today, you can find evidence and proof of jealousy and envy in the way you feel and your attitudes towards other people. Well, the Scriptures talk a great deal about envy and about jealousy. And they give us a very clear and vivid example for us in three people in the Old Testament: Moses, Miriam, and Aaron. Now, it just so happens that these three are brothers and sister. They're from the same family. It also happens that they are leaders in the children of Israel. It also gives us an example of people who are godly people, people whom God has used, and yet they fall to the temptation of jealousy and envy. We find their story recorded in Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I'll just take a moment and read them, and then we will study the example from the lives of these three people, especially Miriam and Aaron, that we might be corrected in our behavior today as well. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us?" And the Lord heard it. We find here an attitude displayed by Miriam and by her brother Aaron, an attitude of jealousy, an attitude of envy. There's no other way to get around it. We find that they were jealous of their brother Moses. And I suppose it didn't help any that Moses was the youngest of the three. So oftentimes we feel that when we are the oldest, we're the wisest. Or we feel that we are the one who is more deserving of the position of authority and of leadership because, after all, we're the oldest. Well, regardless of those kinds of circumstances, we find that Miriam and Aaron were jealous of their little brother, Moses. I want us to examine their jealousy today and learn and be admonished by their behavior, that we might not fall into the same trap into which they fell, that of jealousy and envy. We find there are two different ways that their jealousy and their envy is expressed here. We find, first of all, that they were jealous of Moses because of his position. Now, let's just review for a moment the position of all three of these people. Moses was the leader of the children of Israel. He's the one whom God chose and spoke to at the burning bush in the wilderness, called him to go back to Egypt lead out the children of Israel, take them into the promised land. God himself was the one who appointed Moses the leader. Now, in addition to that, Miriam and Aaron also had responsibilities, but their position was not as high in the eyes of men as that of Moses. Aaron was the high priest. He was the one whom God designated as being the high priest, and his family line was to be the priestly line, so that throughout generations, the children of Aaron would be priests unto God, a very special calling. And then there was Miriam. Miriam herself was one of the leaders in the children of Israel. She is the one who, in fact, led the praise, the song of praise, when they went through the Red Sea. We find that recorded in Exodus chapter 15. So Miriam, Aaron, and Moses all had varying positions of leadership in the children of Israel, leading them to the promised land. But we find here that Miriam and Aaron speak out against Moses, and they say, "Hath God only spoken by him? Who put him in charge?" Does not that question sound familiar? Who put you in charge? Have you ever been asked that question? Or on the other side, have you ever asked that question? Who put you in charge? Why are you the one who is up in front? Why not me? Who put you in charge? Behind that question is the same fault that was behind the question given by Miriam and her brother Aaron. Jealousy. Envy. You want what they have. They have a position that you want. And your way of expressing and describing that is by the question, who put you in charge? Has God only spoken by you? We find jealousy of position. We find also displayed in their question that they raised up against him, a question and a jealousy about power. For it says here, hath God only spoken by Moses? Indeed, hasn't he also spoken by us? Again, let's just take a brief walk back through prior history with these three, and we see how, in fact, God had spoken by all three of them. The man Moses, we won't go into a lot of explanation about him. He's fairly well known about how God spoke to him face to face on the mountain, gave him the law, and sent him back to give it to the people. So Moses was very clearly one who was speaking for God. And in fact, they even admit the fact that God had spoken through him, before they say, has he only spoken by Moses? So they accepted the fact that God had in fact spoken through him. But in addition, each, Miriam and Aaron, had also been used of God. For Aaron was the high priest. He was also the spokesperson for Moses. You'll recall that when Moses was called by God back at the burning bush, Moses said, I can't speak. I am not fluent. You get me in front of a crowd and man, I'll just clam up. I won't be able to say anything. God said, I'll send you your brother Aaron. He'll be your mouthpiece. You tell Aaron, he'll say it. So on many of the occasions we find recorded in the book of Exodus, when Moses went before Pharaoh for the release of his people, Aaron went with him and spoke on behalf of the children of Israel and on behalf of Moses. So yes, in fact, God had spoken through Aaron on many occasions. We also find that true of Miriam, for Miriam is called a prophetess. She is one through whom God had spoken on numerous occasions as well. So yes, it is true. The question that she raised is a true question. Hasn't God also spoken by us? All three of them, God had spoken through Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Well, where is the jealousy? Well, the jealousy arises on this faction. It arises in this sense, in that Moses was the one whom God had designated as his man. The one through whom he would give direction and leadership for the children of Israel. And in fact, if we go back to Numbers 11, we find that Moses had chosen out 70 people from among the people of Israel to help him lead the nation. Among the 70, we do not find listed Miriam and Aaron. Could it possibly be that this is part of the reason why they are now raising up the question and saying, wait a minute, how about me? How about my opinions? How about my ideas? How about the way I think things ought to go? Should it always be your way, Moses? God has spoken by me too. Why should it only be your way all the time? Jealousy of power. We find that people today, and perhaps this is true of you, we find that people today like to be on the inside. They like to be part of that little group that makes the decisions. And in fact, it's even all the better if it's my decision that everyone chooses to follow. You see, we have jealousy of power. We have jealousy of position. And behind it all is a very simple little question here. Has God only spoken by Moses? Hasn't God also used me? Yes, perhaps he has. But we also find behind jealousy, we find a refusal to accept God's sovereign choice. For we see that the basis on which Miriam and Aaron made their complaint against Moses was the fact that he married an Ethiopian woman. Now, prior to God calling Moses at the burning bush, Moses had worked as a shepherd for 40 years in the wilderness. And while he was out there, he married an Ethiopian woman, a woman to be his wife, and they had two children. We find that that is the excuse that Miriam and Aaron bring as the basis for their jealousy of power and position of Moses. And here's in essence what they were saying. In essence, what Miriam and Aaron were saying is, Moses, why are you the leader? You're no better than we are. In fact, you have an Ethiopian wife. You didn't even marry a Jewish girl. You married someone outside the nation. Therefore, you have really kind of set yourself in a bad position here because you have an Ethiopian woman, not a Jewish one. In essence, their complaint against Moses was, Moses, your clothing is not as clean as it should be. You got flaws, friend. You've got flaws against you, and you're not perfect. So therefore, why should we listen to you? You're no better than I am. Oh, does that not sound familiar? Is that a phrase that perhaps you have used in accusation against another Christian brother or sister? Someone perhaps in your family or maybe even at the church where you attend where you have said, you're no better than I am, why should I listen to you? And behind it all is an attitude of jealousy and of envy. We see it very clearly shown for us in the example of Miriam and of Aaron. They were jealous against their brother. They were jealous because of his position. He was the leader. They were jealous against him because of his power and authority. And they said, hasn't God also spoken through us? Why don't you do things our way instead of your way? And behind their jealousy, the motivating force behind it all was this little subtlety. You're no better than I am, Moses. Your skirts are not clean. You've got sin in your life too. You're weak. You don't have all of the abilities and skills. Therefore, you ought to listen to me as well. Jealousy. Envy. We find that the Scriptures talk a great deal about jealousy and envy. And the Scriptures do not deal kindly with it. They do not present it as a favorable attitude. They do not give it to us as one to cultivate and desire. But rather, it is one that is of distaste. And it is one, as I mentioned at the outset of our study today, is one that can eat you alive and can destroy you and destroy the relationships that you hold dear. Well, we find that God heard it. God heard their complaints and their talk of jealousy. And we find that, in fact, God vindicated Moses. As we read on through chapter 12 of Numbers, we find that God called all three of them to the tabernacle door. And there He spoke and revealed that Moses was His choice. Moses was the man that He Himself put in charge of the people of Israel. And it became so clear, in fact, that the judgment was necessary, that God judged Miriam and He afflicted her with leprosy just momentarily. And Aaron cried out to Moses, "Oh, Moses, pray that God will heal her." So Moses prayed on behalf of his sister that God would heal her of the leprosy, and He did. But you see, it all showed God's judgment. He vindicated His man Moses, and then He brought judgment upon Miriam for her sin of jealousy. We fail to realize, my friend, all too often that God judges our sin. It always brings His judgment in some form or fashion. God always punishes our sin. And we find it displayed for us here in the lives of three family members, Miriam, Aaron, and Moses. What does the Spirit of God want these truths to accomplish in your life today? First, He wants you to know the truth about the reality of jealousy, how it occurs, how it can develop in our lives, and some examples of how we express that envy and jealousy of heart. He also wants you to know that it's an attitude that He condemns and that He judges. He brings punishment upon it when we practice it in our lives. And He wants to present this truth to you that it might conform you and shape and change your life, that you might mold your life according to the truth and not according to that which is false. Where has the Spirit of God today spoken to you and identified areas in your life where you are just like Miriam and her brother Aaron? Where have you given off expressions just like they did? Expressions of jealousy of those in position that you desire. Statements such as, "Who put you in charge? Why should I follow you?" Has He shown to you times when you've expressed jealousy and envy of power? Why should we follow your plan instead of mine? What makes your idea better than my idea? Does it all come because you have sensed wrongly that they're just as bad as I am? Yes, that's probably true. But you see, we have failed to understand that we're all in the same boat. There is none of us that is better than the other. We are all sinful before God. And so there is none of us that deserves a position of leadership like Moses. Moses didn't deserve that position. There was nothing that he did that in any way enamored him before God, whereby God should choose him and put him in that place above that of Moses, or above that of Aaron, or above that of his sister. There was nothing about him that made him any better in God's eyes. You see, we have a fundamental mistake in our thinking when we conclude that somehow I deserve it because I'm better than. No, my friend, you aren't. We are all weak, scarred, fragile vessels. All of us need God's supernatural power. Whether God used Moses, or whether He used Aaron, or whether He used Miriam, or whether He used Joshua, or some other person, it always would boil down to this one fundamental fact. Every one of them would require God's supernatural power to accomplish that which He asked them to do. And it's true in your life. It's true in my life. It's true in the church where you attend, that anyone who is chosen to be in a position of leadership and is placed there by God requires the supernatural power of God to function properly. It would take that same power if you were there as well. It makes no difference. And so we find here displayed for us some very vivid pictures of jealousy. Has the Spirit of God opened your eyes to see where that might describe you? Has He found you today one of rebellion against God and His authority and His sovereignty? Has He found you today one to be who is fighting against His purpose for your life so that you are grasping after what He has not given you? Sin has its consequences. Sin brings its destructive forces to bear in our lives. There's no way we can escape it. We all experience the judgment of God when we sin against His truth. We find it displayed very clearly here in the life of Miriam. Sometimes we miss it because it's kind of quiet and subtle, but yet it's there. Well, what does the Spirit of God then want these truths to bring about as they've identified for us where we have sinned as they have sinned? What now? Well, the Spirit of God wants to take these truths and first of all, He wants to correct you. He wants you to remove that which is wrong, that which is false. And I want to read for you just a couple of references from Scripture that talk about envy and jealousy, that you might have a clear picture of God's attitude and opinion towards it. First one we find in Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 30. We read this, "A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy is the rottenness of its bones." Kind of a clear picture, isn't it? Just like I described at the beginning of our study, envy and jealousy can destroy you. It's the rottenness of bones. I'd like you to turn to another one or mention another one to you. Song of Solomon. We don't quote too often from the Song of Solomon, but here's one. Chapter 8, verse number 6. Talking about envy and jealousy, here's what it says. "Love is strong as death, but jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame." There's two confirmations from Scripture that give for us a very vivid picture of God's attitude towards jealousy and envy. He hates it. It's something that He despises. It is something that He describes as the rottenness of bones. He describes it as like a coal of fire. And whatever it touches, the flame expands, and it's a vehement flame. That's what the Spirit of God wants to correct in our lives. By taking these truths and applying them to us, He wants to remove that jealousy and envy that we too often express. And then on the positive side, He wants to conform us to the truth. He wants to conform and mold and shape our lives to that which He does want us to practice. Notice real quickly, if you will, a reference from James chapter 5 that describes for us how God wants to conform us to the truth. James chapter 5, verse number 9, it says this, "Grudge not one against another, lest ye be condemned, for the judge is standing at the door." Yes, the Spirit of God wants to take these truths and change us. Convict us, change us, correct us, conform us to the truth, that He might remove from our expressions jealousy and envy, grudging against one another.